Well, welcome, good evening. It's November 7th, 2023. Just one moment, please. The brightness here appears wrong. Oh, I see what's wrong. Yeah. I think I know what's wrong. Let me maximize. There we go. Let's see. And this is what is normally done here. And then reset. So, sorry about that little glitch. The chronology is something very important to the truth of the historicity of the Bible, as I've mentioned on numerous occasions. And today it's November 7th. 2023, 1959 hours Eastern Standard Time. We're green with you. Now it's 2000 hours Eastern Standard Time. We're beginning chapter 11 of the Born and Raised article, The History in Reformative Total Years, which mentions the quote as the theme for the chapter from Psalm 19, verse 11. Also, your own servant has been warned by them, that is, the commandments of Jehovah. In the keeping of them, there is a large reward. Do we fully appreciate the opportunity that we are now afforded to read the Bible in our own language today? During the Reformation, which was a time of change for technology with the invention of the printing press, a major translation work was begun by faithful ones such as Martin Luther, German, and William Tyndall, we note above, English, to translate the Bible into the modern languages of the common men of that time. Although the work they did was without the approval of most clergy. But what was the precedent for this work, if there may be one, and how does this quote-unquote precedent affect us today? When we are honest, we appreciate the truth and people who love the truth enough to subjugate all else to it. In the same spirit, we hate what is bad, not truthful. At the same time, we must love the quote-unquote enemies of truth. The command to love our enemies was given by Jesus and does not imply compromise, but using Bible principles, for example, going away before an argument breaks out. Now, I have said many times that the chronology that we have determined, we meaning mainly me in my research, but I've presented it as an open offering to everyone, and this chronology is, I really do believe, the best or the only chronology of its time. In other words, there is no other chronology that can equal it or come close to being truer or anything of that sort. But that's not to say that in the future there will not be some refinement or even complete overturning of this chronology is, I suppose, possible. But it seems hardly likely since we have found so many proofs of the chronology already. And part of that is that Jesus was crucified in the year 30 CE. You note the acronym for chapter 11. The history in reformative total years spells the acronym 30. That's the year that Jesus was crucified in the common era. So that's all for our study of today. I mean, we can't rule out the possibility that there may be a better chronology that fits better. We never know if there could be something better. There's even an important scripture that the one publishing news of something better, right? If I say something better, What do we have? And we don't find it. Okay. Well, let's just look at Malachi. The one publishing good news of good things. We go back to the book of Malachi. Where is it talking about that? Right. Prophecy of Elijah is mentioned there. It may be Isaiah, this prophecy of the good news of good things. Let's look up the word publishing. It's just to say that it's possible. How comely upon the mountains are the feet of the one bringing good news, Isaiah 52 and 7, the one publishing peace, the one bringing good news of something better. That's it. If something better can be found, that is fine, but we know of nothing better than the genealogy. That's the thing. And the one publishing salvation is a very good thing. The one saying to Zion, your God has become king. So when we find a better chronology like we found, the genealogy, that frees us and saves us, therefore provides salvation to all those who were ensnared by other chronologies and being taught untruths about the chronology. So that's the conclusion of our study of Born and Raised for today. From chapter 11, paragraph 1. Now, we are looking at our first scripture from Ecclesiastes 1 and 7 is our proverb for today, little ones. All the winter torrents are going forth to the sea, and yet the sea itself is not full. To the place where the winter torrents are going forth, there they are returning, so as to go forth. There's a cycle, the water cycle. All the winter torrents, all the streams flow toward the sea, and they go to the sea. The sea doesn't get full because to the place where they're going forth, they return from the sea by evaporation. They come back to being streams again that are flowing after rainfall back into the sea. This is wisdom from the Bible, Ecclesiastes 1 and 7, written by Solomon, the great king of Israel, in the first temple period. Now we're looking at our reading from 1 Samuel for today. It's chapter 7. Accordingly, the men after the ark was delivered by the Philistines back using the two cows, accordingly, and the cart that they built, they just let the cows go and said if they go back on the road toward Israel's, you know, toward the place where the ark came from, then we'll know God was the one, Jehovah was the one that was causing us trouble. Accordingly, now the ark has arrived back at Israel, and accordingly the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and brought the ark of Jehovah up and took it into the house of Abinadab on the hill, and Eleazar his son was the one whom they sanctified to guard the ark of Jehovah. And this is the chronological information that's important. Verse 2, and it came about that from the day of the ark's dwelling in Kiriath-Jearim, the days kept multiplying, so that they amounted to 20 years. So we know there's 20 years that the ark was after it was captured by the Philistines. 7 months they kept it, and then 20 years it sat at Kiriath-Jearim, and all the house of Israel went lamenting after Jehovah. And Samuel proceeded to say to all the house of Israel, If it is with all your heart you are returning to Jehovah, this is Samuel speaking, put away the foreign gods from your midst, and also the Ashtoreth images. The word Ashtoreth is related to the word Easter. It's a false god. And direct your heart unswervingly to Jehovah and serve him alone, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. At that, the sons of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreth images and began serving Jehovah alone. They listened to Samuel. Then Samuel said, collect all Israel together at Mizpah, that I may pray in your behalf to Jehovah. So they were collected together at Mizpah, and they went drawing water and pouring it out before Jehovah, and kept a fast on that day. And they began saying there, we have sinned against Jehovah. And Samuel took up judging the sons of Israel in Mizpah. And the Philistines came to hear that the sons of Israel had collected themselves together at Mizpah. So Samuel took up judging the sons of Israel in Mizpah. So this is when the judgeship of Samuel began. Look at that. I've seen arguments made by different people. I'm thinking of one in particular who believed that Samuel began to judge prior to the 20 years, but here it shows it's after the 20 years. And the Philistines, this is fascinating, this is even in perfect harmony with the chronology that we've already established, but I never really paid attention to this verse. 1 Samuel 7:6, and the Philistines came to hear that the sons of Israel had collected themselves together at Mizpah, and the Axis lords of the Philistines got on their way up against Israel. When the sons of Israel heard of it, they began to be afraid on account of the Philistines. So the sons of Israel said to Samuel, do not keep silent for our sakes from calling to Jehovah our God for aid, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. Then Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it up as a burnt offering, a whole offering to Jehovah. And Samuel began calling to Jehovah for aid in behalf of Israel, and Jehovah proceeded to answer him. And it came about that while Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines themselves drew near for battle against Israel. And Jehovah now caused it to thunder with a loud noise on that day against the Philistines, that he might throw them into confusion, and they got defeated before Israel. At that, the men of Israel sallied forth from Mizpah and went in pursuit of the Philistines and kept striking them down as far as south of Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Jeshanah and began to call its name Ebenezer. Accordingly, he said, till now, Jehovah has helped us. Thus the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. And the hand of Jehovah continued to be against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The Philistines were subdued, and that was the end of their domination of 40 years, in other words, from verse 13 there. And the cities that the Philistines had taken from Israel kept coming back to Israel, from Ekron to Gath, and the territory of them Israel delivered from the hand of the Philistines. And there came to be peace between Israel and the Amorites. And there the word Amorites is very significant, because this is a word commonly used to refer to the people who dwelt in Canaan as a summary, or the grand sum of all of them, referred to as the Amorites. And Samuel kept on judging Israel all the days of his life. And he traveled from year to year, and he made the circuit of Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, and judged Israel at all these places. He was the judge from that point. But his return was to Ramah, because, in fact, he was the judge prior to the battle with the Philistines. But his return was to Ramah because there was where his house was. And there he judged Israel. And he proceeded to build an altar there to Jehovah. And this domination, 40 years by the Philistines, is well documented from judges, right, which we read prior to 1 Samuel chapter 13, and the sons of Israel engaged again in doing what was bad in Jehovah's eyes, so that Jehovah gave them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. And that began to be recounted from Judges chapter 10, I believe. Here it is. In verse 7, Judges 10 and 7, the 40 years began right at the same time that the domination of the sons of Ammon began here. So that it says, Jehovah sold the Israelites into the hand of the Philistines and into the hand of the sons of Ammon, in that verse, at that same time. And that was the beginning of the 300 years of Jephthah. Which Jephthah referred to in the same book, which we've already also shown as well, that when Jephthah announced his intentions to the Ammonites, what was it? Would it be 11 or 12 or where would it be? Jephthah became great. No, I think it's Judges other. It must be 12 because 13 is talking about something else. Or is it? No, maybe it's 11. Right. This is where they fought. Jephthah judged Israel for 6 years after the 18-year domination of the Ammonites, but that's Judges 12 and 7 for the judgeship of Jephthah. So it must be 11. Yeah, or 10, one or the other. There it is, I think. Let's see. Yeah, he sent messengers to the king of the sons of Ammon in 11 and 12. And that's where they started to have communication here. Jephthah said, he told the story of what happened when Israel had conquered these lands. In verse 26, while Israel was dwelling in Heshbon, etc., etc., for 300 years, from verse 26, so that we know that the 1152 is the beginning of this domination by the Ammonites, which is 300 years after the crossing of the Jordan in 1452 in the genealogy, so it all fits perfectly well with, and then the 40 years of the Philistines also began in 1152 until 1112 when Samuel began to judge. So 1112 was the time of the final battle, and it's the time when Samuel began to judge Israel. Perfect congruence in the chronology that we have given to us by Jehovah and his word, the Bible. It's remarkable. Now, let's go to our Jeremiah reading. We're at chapter 11. Do we have any time? We've got some time. The word that occurred to Jeremiah from Jehovah saying, chapter 11, hear the words of this covenant, you men, and you must speak them to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you must say to them, this is what Jehovah the God of Israel has said. Cursed is the man that does not listen to the words of this covenant, which I commanded your forefathers in the day of my bringing them out of the land of Egypt, out of the furnace of iron. We called it the iron furnace in the article Crucible of Credible Creed. That's Egypt, the iron furnace. Saying, obey my voice, and you must do things according to all that I command you. When they were on the same day that they were brought out from Egypt, is what Jehovah says here, and you will certainly become my people, and I myself shall become your God, for the purpose of carrying out the oath that I swore to your forefathers to give them the land flowing with milk and honey, as in this day. And I proceeded to answer and say, Amen, O Jehovah. And Jehovah went on to say to me, Proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, Hear, you people, the words of this covenant, and you must do them. For I solemnly admonished your forefathers in the day of my bringing them up out of the land of Egypt and down to this day, rising up early and admonishing them, saying, Obey my voice. But they did not listen or incline their ear, but they kept walking each one in the stubbornness of their bad heart. And so I brought them, and so I brought upon them all the words of this covenant that I commanded them to do, but that they did not do. Furthermore, Jehovah said to me, Conspiracy has been found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They have returned to the errors of their forefathers, the first ones, who refused to obey my words, but who themselves have walked after other gods in order to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant that I concluded with their forefathers. Jeroboam broke away from the 10-tribe kingdom in the year 977. That's when, well, wait a minute, I'm thinking, yeah, in very close to that year, because that was the year, that's the first year, year one of the King Jeroboam of Judah, the son of Solomon, 977. That's when the kingdom split, was in the first, the beginning of the reign of Rehoboam. And they broke the covenant when they broke away. They stopped worshiping Jehovah. Therefore, that was Israel, and then the house of Judah now, in the days of Jeremiah, are breaking the covenant. Therefore, this is what Jehovah has said. Here I am bringing upon them a calamity that they will not be able to get out of, and they will certainly call to me for aid, but I shall not listen to them, and the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will have to go and call for aid to the gods to which they are making sacrificial smoke, but which will positively bring no salvation to them in the time of their calamity. For your gods have become as many as your cities, O Judah, and as many altars as the streets of Jerusalem you people have placed for the shameful thing, altars to make sacrificial smoke to Baal. And as for you, do not pray in behalf of this people, and do not lift up in their behalf an entreating cry or a prayer, for I shall not be listening in the time of their calling out to me in regard to their calamity. What business does my beloved one have in my house, that many of them should do this thing, the evil device? And with holy flesh will they make it pass over from upon you when your calamity comes? At that time will you exult? A luxuriant olive tree, pretty with fruit and in form, is what Jehovah has called your name. With sound of the great roaring, he has set a fire blazing against her, and they have broken its branches. And Jehovah of armies himself, the planter of you, has spoken against you a calamity on account of the badness of the house of Israel and the house of Judah, that they have committed on their own part to offend me in making sacrificial smoke to Baal. And Jehovah himself has informed me that I may know. At that time you caused me to see their dealings, and I was like a male lamb, an intimate one that is brought to slaughter. And I did not know that it was against me that they thought out schemes. Let us bring to ruin the tree with its food, and let us cut him off from the land of the living ones, that his very name may no more be remembered. But Jehovah of armies is judging with righteousness. He is examining the kidneys and the heart. Oh, may I see your vengeance on them, for it is to you that I have revealed my case at law. Therefore, this is what Jehovah has said against the men of Anathoth, who are seeking for your soul, saying, You must not prophesy in the name of Jehovah, that you may not die at our hand. Therefore, this is what Jehovah of armies has said. Here I am turning my attention upon them. The young men themselves will die by the sword. Their sons and their daughters themselves will die by the famine. And not even a remnant will there come to be for them. Because I shall bring calamity upon the men of Anathoth, the year of their being given attention. That's the end of Jeremiah chapter 11. Anathoth? What was Anathoth? Well, if you remember, little ones, it was Anathoth was mentioned in footnote T here, from Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Jeremiah, at the very beginning of his book, he wrote, one of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin. Jeremiah was from Benjamin, and he was from Anathoth. And so those people that were from his home city, or the place of his origin, would also be, or the place where of his dwelling, at least, would also be punished specifically here by Jehovah, dying by the sword in some cases, not a remnant remaining, severe punishment for them because they didn't approve of Jeremiah's preaching in the name of Jehovah. They tried to prevent that by threatening his death. And Hebrews chapter 11, this is a marvelous chapter. Faith is the assured expectation of things hoped for, the evident demonstration of realities, though not beheld. For by means of this the men of old times had witness borne to them. By faith we perceive that the systems of things were put in order by God's word, so that what is beheld has come to be out of things that do not appear. By faith Abel offered God a sacrifice of greater worth than Cain, through which faith he had the witness borne to him that he was righteous, God bearing witness respecting his gifts, and through it he, although he died, yet speaks. By faith Enoch was transferred so as not to see death, and he was nowhere to be found because God had transferred him, for before his transference he had the witness that he had pleased God well. Moreover, without faith it is impossible to please him well, for he that approaches God must believe that he is, and that he becomes the rewarder of those earnestly seeking him. By faith Noah, after being given divine warning of things not yet beheld, showed godly fear and constructed an ark for the saving of his household. And through this faith he condemned the world, and he became an heir of the righteousness that is according to faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed, in going out into a place he was destined to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, although not knowing where he was going. By faith he resided as an alien in the land of the promise, as in a foreign land, and dwelt in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the very same promise. For he was awaiting the city, having real foundations, the builder and maker of which city is God. By faith also Sarah herself received power to conceive seed, even when she was past the age limit, since she esteemed him faithful who had promised. Hence also from one man, and him as good as dead, there were born children, just as the stars of heaven for multitude, and as the sands that are by the seaside, innumerable. In faith, all these died, although they did not get the fulfillment of the promises, but they saw them afar off, and welcomed them, and publicly declared that they were strangers and temporary residents in the land. For those who say such things give evidence that they are earnestly seeking a place of their own. And yet, if they had indeed kept remembering that place from which they had gone forth, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they are reaching out for a better place, that is, one belonging to heaven. Hence God is not ashamed of them to be called upon as their God, for he has made a city ready for them. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, as good as offered up Isaac, and the man that had gladly received the promises attempted to offer up his only begotten son, although it had been said to him, what will be called your seed will be through Isaac. But he reckoned that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, and from there he did receive him also in an illustrative way. By faith also Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when about to die, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, nearing his end, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel, and he gave a command concerning his bones. By faith, Moses was hid for 3 months by his parents after his birth, because they saw the young child was beautiful, and they did not fear the order of the king. By faith, Moses, when grown up, refused to be called the son of the daughter of Pharaoh, choosing to be ill-treated with the people of God rather than to have the temporary enjoyment of sin, because he esteemed the reproach of the Christ as riches greater than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked intently toward the payment of the reward. By faith he left Egypt, but not fearing the anger of the king, for he continued steadfast, as seeing the one who is invisible. By faith he had celebrated the Passover and the splashing of the blood, that the destroyer might not touch their firstborn ones. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as on dry land, but on venturing out upon it, the Egyptians were swallowed up. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the harlot did not perish with those who acted disobediently, because she received the spies in a peaceable way. And what more shall I say? For the time will fail me if I go on to relate about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, as well as Samuel, and the other prophets who through faith defeated kingdoms in conflict, effected righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, stayed the force of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from a weak state were made powerful, became valiant in war, routed the armies of foreigners. Women received their dead by resurrection, but other men were tortured because they would not accept release by some ransom in order that they might attain a better resurrection. Yes, others received their trial by mockings and scourgings. Indeed, more than that, by bonds and prisons. They were stoned, they were tried, they were sawn asunder, they died by slaughter with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, while they were in want, in tribulation, under ill treatment, and the world was not worthy of them. They wandered about in deserts and mountains and caves and dens of the earth. And yet all these, although they had witness borne to them through their faith, did not get the fulfillment of the promise, as God foresaw something better for us, in order that they might not be made perfect apart from us. And that's the end of Hebrews chapter 11. A phenomenal summary of the faithful servants of Jehovah in the Israelite scriptures from the old, the so-called Old Testament, the so-called former covenant too, the covenant that was given by Moses, and with regard to which many subsequent prophets prophesied as part of that book that was the old or the former covenant, which came before the new covenant, the new covenant being the one introduced and having been the one introduced by our Lord Jesus. We are now done. I love you. It's November 7th, 2023, 2032 hours Eastern Standard Time. This is Crow and Cassie saying, in my behalf, bye for now.